I had an opportunity to interview for an upcoming book by a brand new author. The book is called Ethical Entrepreneurship, and boy, was that interview fun, but it brought up something really, really interesting. And it's the question that a lot of entrepreneurs face, especially faith-based entrepreneurs. And that is, how do you sell your products and services without feeling salesy, or how do you sell when it feels like it's in conflict with your faith? And we're going to touch on just how I overcame that challenge and continue to push past the boundaries to increase revenue. Before we hop into today's episode, I want to let you know that it is sponsored by my very own book called The Mompreneur Manifesto, 8 Biblical Principles for Sustainable Business Success Without Neglecting Your Family. Listen, the enemy wants to keep us in the dark, you guys, and have us chasing the world's definition of success. He wants us to stay so busy and distracted and preoccupied that we fail to see the advantages of putting God first in everything, including business. The Mompreneur Manifesto will allow you, or will show you, how to ditch the grind and focus on God's grace. With this book, you will learn how to really put God first and watch your business flourish. Get ready, mamas. It's time for God to get all up in your business, which is exactly where He should be. Now for today's podcast. Welcome to the Academy, the premier community for God-fearing, high-achieving women entrepreneurs. I am your host, Demita McGee. And listen, this is the place for women dedicated to owning and operating businesses using biblical principles. This is where practicality and spirituality intersect, ladies. The Academy will challenge your view of what you have been taught business should look like and help you truly tap into business the way God designed it. So let's get started with today's episode. What's going on, you guys? Welcome to this week's edition of the Christian Women's Business Academy podcast. Today, I'm super pumped up and excited to talk to you about a topic that came up as a result of an interview that I had the opportunity to do. I met an amazing woman, Rhiannon Connor, and she's writing a book called Ethical Entrepreneurship. And so she's in the process of conducting interviews and talking to faith-based entrepreneurs who sincerely put God at the center of their business model. So she asked me a question that I used to really struggle with. And I know it's something that a lot of people struggle with because it's about sales. The question she asked was, did you ever struggle with the idea of selling and your faith conflicting one another? And if you did, what did you do? Are you past it? Just some feedback on that. Now, that's a common challenge. And I remember, man, I used to struggle so much with sales, period. So this started a while ago. So I wasn't always a faith-based entrepreneur. When I only did network marketing, when we were building our team, I wasn't a faith-based entrepreneur. Yes, I believed in God. Yes, I was a Christian, all of those things, but God was not at the center of what I was doing. I would always say things like God first, family second, business third, but the reality was in practice, I was putting business first, family second, God third. So even though I said it the other way around, in practice, that's not what I was doing. And it showed in building our team and building our business. So the reality was in network marketing, what I used to do, so I'm going to show you what I used to do versus what I do now and what's made the biggest difference and why in my first year, when I started and launched my company, in the very first year, I actually earned more than the first 5 years of us being in our company combined. The reason is because my focus shifted and we did relatively well in our network marketing company. So with that said, let me dig into the meat of today's topic. So what did I do before that I don't do anymore? In network marketing, I exclusively focused on the numbers. That was it. So if I knew, and this will sound familiar to some of you, you'll think, I never even thought of it that way. But I understand numbers. I'm an analytical person because I know that in a perfect world, numbers are perfect and people are not. And so because numbers are perfect, I can work the numbers better than I can work people. So I used to use the numbers in my favor. So I understood what my close rates were. I knew what my conversion rates were. I knew if I showed 10 people that out of those 10 people, we get two or three people to say yes and to actually get started. So that meant that if I wanted anywhere between 4 and 6 people to sign up in any given month, that meant I needed to talk to somewhere between about 20 people. It was mandatory to talk to at least 20 people if I wanted to get work those numbers and the averages and get them to work in my favor. Now, the interesting thing was I talked to anybody who had a pulse when I was really focused in network marketing. I mean, anybody. I do presentations in living rooms, basements, Starbucks, hotels, cars, on the roofs of cars. It didn't matter the time of day, the time of night. I didn't get very much sleep. Like, I was building, building, building. And so I focused on the numbers, and that was it, right? Now, I've since shifted, and there are several reasons why I've shifted, but I just want you to understand the difference between how I used to do business versus how I do business today. So in order to sell without selling, without selling being the focus of what I do, I've completely shifted my business model. Thank the Lord. So what do I do now that results in more income, that results in faster, me acquiring revenue faster and success a lot faster, building relationships better, more sincere relationships that stick better, build trust faster, all those things, the intangible things that result in tangible income. So what did I do different? What do I do different now? The difference is now I have a focus that is about the people and not about the money. So the very first thing, I'm going to tell you some specific steps you can take. The first one is you have to identify what it is that you actually do. What are you really selling? So for example, I offer Christian women who are entrepreneurs, I offer them coaching, right? So the reality is I could be selling coaching, but that's not what I sell. That's not what I'm giving women. What I am helping women get is confidence. So I'm selling confidence. I'm not selling coaching. So the first thing you have to do is identify what is it that you're truly selling. That in and of itself is the very first challenge for people. So when someone comes to begins coaching with me, they're going to walk away with something completely different than most people realize that they're going to get. They're going to personally develop, they're going to spiritually develop, and they're also going to develop their business. But the reality is, if we can develop all three of those things at the same time, then you're going to feel like a much more complete, confident entrepreneur. So people walk away from coaching so much more confident than they were before they started. So the real question is, what are you selling? So you may think, oh, I'm selling books. No. What is the result that you're selling? You're selling a result. A lot of us are focusing on the symptoms and we're saying that we're selling a cure for the symptom. No, you're selling a result. What is the result that someone's going to get out of working with you? So with me, you're going to get increased confidence. I'm not just selling coaching. I'm selling confidence. I'm selling the ability to walk in a room and actually set the temperature, not adjust to the temperature that's already there. I'm selling the ability to walk in a room and stand up so confident, so erect that when you do, people see you and the atmosphere shifts when you walk in a room. I'm selling confidence that is so strong that not only do you know or believe that you can make something happen, you believe it, but you're able to get other people to believe that you can make it happen. I'm selling that kind of confidence. The confidence that's not shaken because you have a challenge. The confidence that's not shaken because you walk and up to a hurdle, because you know immediately before you get there, I'm going to get over this. This is not going to stop me. All right. So that's what I'm selling. So the first thing you have to do, without a shadow of a doubt, is you have to know what it is you actually do, what result you're driving, what you're selling. The second thing that's truly important, guys, you've got to know who it is that you help. In a lot of cases, we don't know the audience that we're helping, and we want to help everybody we come in contact with, and you just can't do it. You can't. Everybody is not interested in what you have to offer. And that doesn't mean that your service is bad. That doesn't mean that your product is terrible. That is marketing. Marketing is a transference of belief. That is me transferring my belief and my results onto you. So now you know you can have those results. And it's me helping you get them, whatever those results are. And so in order for me to transfer my belief to you, you have to actually want what it is I'm offering. So for example, if you're trying to sell a roof to me because you want to make sure that no water leaks in my house, that our walls have no cracks in it, but you're selling a roof to me and my roof is only 5 years old, well, I'm not interested because you have the wrong audience. So you must know who your audience is. If you're trying to sell a keto lifestyle to somebody who could care less about keto dieting, then you're selling to the wrong person. Sure, it's healthy. I get it. I understand. But if they're not interested in it, they're the wrong audience. I don't care how much you believe in it. If they don't want it, they're not buying it. So you have to understand who your audience is. I know that my audience is Christian women entrepreneurs who are at the beginning stages of their business. Now, beginning doesn't necessarily mean that you just started your business last week or last year. People could have been in business or can be 10 years into their business and still at the beginning stages. It's not about time, it's about progress. So you need to know who is it you're actually serving. So we've already discussed two things right away that I've done totally different from before when I was only numbers driven. One, I have figured out exactly what it is that I am sharing with people, right? And two, I know exactly who it is that I'm focused on sharing that with. Now, this is the other thing. You must focus, and this is hard for people, on service more than income. And I get it. Okay. I understand. A lot of people are saying, Demita, I'd love to focus on service, but the reality is I need food on my table. So I'm going to challenge you. Your primary motivation will always come through. You can say I'm focused on helping people, but the fact that you're money driven will always come through because your underlying primary motivations will always sneak through the surface because that's truly what drives your actions. So you may think you're sugarcoating the sales pitch in the conversation where no one knows that you truly just want to get this sale. But the reality is you're not, because even though you don't realize it, people can hear your heart. So what is it you have to fix? You have to fix your primary motivation. And that, my friends, is not easy. So I am all about helping women get from where they are to where God wants them to be, using entrepreneurship and their spiritual gifts. But this is what I'm going to tell you right now. Listen to me clearly. If you are more focused on income than you are on service, your business is going to stall. You're not going to be fulfilled even if you are successful. So I'm going to challenge you. And I'm going to tell you right now, don't pimp your gift. Don't do it. Just don't even do it. God will not be pleased. Don't pimp your gift just to get money from people. You know it's not what they need, but you sell it to them anyway because you want the money. You're going to be miserable and so will they. And you cannot operate in your zone of genius that way. You can't. I remember being completely transparent and honest with you guys. I remember one time when, and this goes to show you how my motivation was different before than it is now. And I can see the difference and feel the difference, but I didn't understand it at the time. So before I used to say, I need money, like I need oxygen. So my focus was money. My focus was growing our team so we could earn enough money, right? And so I remember there was one person in particular, and I remember telling my husband, I don't even want her on the team. Because I don't feel like having to constantly motivate her over and over and over. I know how she is. She loses her motivation and then I got to motivate her again to get her going. And then she'll go for a little while and then I got to motivate her again to get her going. And I honestly, I don't feel like doing that. Now, listen to that. Do you not think that comes through in conversation? Instead, and that shows you specifically how I was focused on me. I was not focused on her. The reality is, however I could help her attain her goals is what I should have been focused on, but I wasn't. So it's truly a learning process. It's a growing process. It's a personal developing process. And so I was so focused on she's going to drain me. I don't even want her on the team. That's crazy. And so it's self-sabotaging versus focusing on whatever it is that she needed so she could succeed. Excuse me, focusing on whatever it is she needed and giving her that. Listen, when I say don't pimp your gift, what I mean by that is this. Don't go out there purposely looking for ways to just make money off your gift instead of looking for ways that you can serve someone with your gift. Listen, the Bible is clear. Paul tells us to use our gifts to serve ye one another, meaning use our gifts to serve each other, not to sell each other. The great thing is God did not say that if we have these gifts that we can't be entrepreneurs and use them for, you know, for profitable gain, which is amazing, but your primary focus should be service. And the reason is because when you focus on serving God's people, he will always reward you. Always. The Bible says that pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men pour into your bosom. So he uses people to reward you. He uses people to pay you, right? So when you serve people adequately, you will get that return back just as well. Listen, you may be saying, but Demita, I need income. I get it. I understand. I was there. So you know what you need to do? You need to Uber, do Lyft, deliver groceries, sell some of the things that you have in your home, maybe that you can get rid of, sell some of your professions. And while you're doing all of that, finding a way to earn an income so you don't pimp your gift, while you're finding a way to earn an income, I'm going to challenge you to learn how to serve people through your gift. If that means you need to give it away, your gift, until you your heart changes, until God can do a supernatural surgery on your heart, then give it away until he can do a supernatural surgery on your heart. Because when your motivation is not pure, you're not going to get the return that you want anyway. So we've already discussed, listen, two things. One, we talked about identifying what it is that you actually do. What are you really selling? We talked about identifying who it is that you help, because everybody doesn't want what you have. Make sure that you pick an audience and don't pimp your gift. And if you have to wait for God to do that supernatural surgery, pray for it. If you know that your primary motivation is money, then you have to make sure that you have that conversation with God about it. You have to. Now, I have found, this is the next thing I want to share with you. So we talked about two things. This is the third one. I have found a formula that works really, really, really well when it comes to this. And that is this. When you find that place where your passion and your purpose intersect and you solve a problem, you can earn a profit. Okay. So your passion will fuel you when you're not getting an income from it. Your purpose will drive you because it will keep you focused on what God has called you to do versus focused on selfishly focusing on your own gain. And when you solve a problem, the marketplace wants that, so it's easier to get paid. When you put those three things together, that place where they intersect, that's where you earn a profit. And so I always tell people this formula: find a place where your passion and purpose intersect, and a place where those two things actually solve a problem for the marketplace and you can be profitable. All right. So what is it, for example, that I focus on? Just to give you an example. So one of those things would be, I help, like I've said before, women get from where they are to where God wants them to be using spiritual gifts and entrepreneurship. I focus, my mission is on helping people understand, teaching them that we can recirculate money in the kingdom. And there are two systems. There's the world's system, and then there is the kingdom, God's system. Well, I want to focus and concentrate and work in God's kingdom. And if we can work in that system, how do we recirculate money so we can actually help people in the kingdom continue to grow, continue to prosper, where we're serving one another and we're creating opportunities for one another? You get it? So that's a problem in the marketplace, because a lot of people have no idea how to do that. And they're motivated to do it. They just haven't quite figured out how. That's the problem that we're solving. My purpose, God has put me here without a shadow of a doubt, to help teach people that we can do that, to help women understand that we can go back to that original role. We don't have to be the kings in our households because we were never created to be. But if we can lift our husbands up and edify them to such a way that they are the kings in our household, right? And that we are there to support them in a help meet type of way. And help meet is not reduced to doing dishes. You guys, help meet is not reduced to doing laundry. Help meet is me helping my husband prosper in the ministry that God has called him to prosper in. That ministry should be to our home first. How do I help my husband in that ministry? How do I support him there? And then how does my husband support me and what God has called me to do? So my role is to help women, to help our Esthers of today who were born for such a time as this, to help them elevate themselves and gain the confidence to move forward in the marketplace. And so that's where I solved the problem. And that's my purpose. And guys, I think you can tell I'm passionate about it. So the result has been that we've profited. Okay, I'm sure that makes perfect sense. So we've discussed a couple of things. So let's wrap this up because we're already hitting the time limit. I don't want to go too long today. But these are a couple of things that you can do. One is you want to also research your gift. Research your spiritual gifts. What books can you read about your spiritual gifts? One of my gifts is the gift of exhortation or the gift of encouragement. And so recently I picked up a book about the gift of exhortation. Have you ever bought a book about your spiritual gift? I'll be honest with you. Before recently, I honestly hadn't. So are there books that you can purchase so you can learn more about your gift? Have you ever taken some time to just research scripture and find out who in scripture operates in the gift that God has so gracefully anointed you with? How did they operate? How did they work? How did they touch people? How did God use them? The more that you can research the people in scripture that operated in your gift, the more you can learn about your gift and how God could potentially use you. So that's one of the things that you can do. And this is another thing that you can do, guys. Resist the opportunity to send yourself before it's time. I know we want to sell. We want to earn all the money possible. We want to have the biggest audience. We want to have a massive circle of influence. We want to be the top influencer, having millions of followers on social media. But the reality is we want millions, but God, can God trust you with 10? Can he trust you with one? Can he trust you to follow through and really give it your all when you're working with that client, but you already want hundreds of clients, but do you appreciate the one client that you have in front of you? The Bible says that our gifts will make room for us and put us in the presence of great men. God promotes us. We do not promote ourselves. See, you want to be careful not to put yourself in a position and let your talent and your gifts take you to a place where your character cannot keep you. Because see, we have to grow in leadership. We have to grow in spirituality so we can actually stay in those positions as God elevates us. And you know how it is if you have children. They're ready for so much more in their minds, but you know, in reality, they're really not. And so you have to help them through the process of maturing so they can handle more. Did it ever occur to you that perhaps that's exactly what God is doing with you? And so you want to promote yourself before it's time because you're ready to put your gift on display. You're ready to earn a reckless amount of money. You're ready to prosper beyond anything, your wildest dreams that you've ever dreamed of before. And God says, no, 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 you're not ready for that. I know you want it, but you're not ready. I know you want it, but you're not ready. So I'm imploring you guys to resist the urge to send yourself, resist the urge to promote yourself, enjoy the process. Enjoy the process. So how do I sell without selling? Well, my loves, I simply serve to the best of my ability. The Bible says that Jesus, being God in the flesh, reduced himself to a slave. He came to serve, not to be served. And he did it so well that he served even unto death, that God was so excited about what he did, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There will be no other name before him because he served all the way unto death. So my question for you today is, how do you sell without selling? My loves, you serve. You serve to the best of your ability. You serve as best as you humanly can. You serve. And see, when I have conversations with individuals, they sound like this. I let everyone know, listen, we're just going to talk and there will be absolutely zero hard closing. We just need to talk so I can see if I'm the right coach for you, so I can see if you're the right client for me. And guess what? If it works, we'll do it. If the time is not right, then we'll wait. It's that simple. But you guys, I trust God tremendously. I trust him with everything. When I don't trust myself, I trust him. And because I trust him, I know that he's going to connect me to the right people at the right time with the right resources so that together each of our visions will come to pass. I'll grow in my business and they'll grow in theirs. I pray that this actually really helped you, edified you, and you understand that you can serve your way to the top. Hey guys, I want to thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. I appreciate you. I do not take you for granted. If you took a minute to listen today, trust me and believe me when I say I'm so grateful. Prayerfully, you found the information helpful, valuable, useful, and it is never a bad idea to learn how to operate your business using biblical principles. Remember, together, you guys, we can learn how to recirculate money in the kingdom and continue to fund kingdom projects. We're going to close out with our verse for today. It is Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 20. I'm reading from the New Living Translation version, or NLT, and it says, "A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire." Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. That is the word of God. So the question I have for you guys to ponder over the next several days until we meet again is, what are your actions and how do people identify you? I'll see you next time on the Christian Women's Business Academy podcast. Love you to life. Make sure you share this with someone who can definitely use it. And I am so excited to have you as part of our tribe and audience. Bye-bye for now. Yeah. To play now, put me in the game now. I came here to prove it, I'm ready to do it. I can't be afraid now. Put me on the stage now. I'm ready to rage now. I feel like an animal stuck in a cage and I'm ready to break out. My time, my time. None of you people can tell me to stop. This time, like the last time, you better get ready to race to the top. I'm ready to do this, show you what the truth is. I step on the field, it's time to get real. I'm feeling so ruthless. My time, my time. None of you people can tell me to stop. Lower the lights down. Hand over my crown. Hand over my heart. I do this for my town. I do this for my crowd. So turn me up real loud. My time, my time. None of you people can tell me to stop.